itself. You've got it. Depends completely. The language that Prabhupada speaks is, one becomes Narottama if one steadily practices, abides by the principle of depending upon the personality of Godhead. So, like for example, when we got here, to get here, we had directions. So, that's part of depending upon the personality of Godhead. We didn't just get in the car and say, we'll just keep driving and we'll depend upon the personality of Godhead to get there. We're using the faculty of intelligence and our little modern communication systems to make sure we have proper directions. But even in proper directions, we can have proper directions, we may not get here. So carry the consciousness of using those directions and depending upon Krishna to bring us to the proper destination. And carry that Krishna consciousness with us so that when we arrive, we're in Krishna consciousness. Practicing depending upon Krishna for the fulfillment of all, even simple, ordinary activities of life. And then the other is completely relieved of the taints of sinful acts. Just like the verse in Bhagavad Gita, Yesham Twantakatam Papam Jananam Punya Karmanam Te Dvandva Niro Nirvakto Vajante Mam Dridavrata. One can be engaged in Krishna's devotional service with great determination. One can stay fixed in the position of devotional service through that association. And Prabhupada comments that this is also one of the functions or the duties of a sadhu. When one has the opportunity to associate with a sadhu, this is one of the fruits. One of the functions a sadhu performs is that sadhu sangha helps us sustain detachment. It helps awaken detachment and attachment to Krishna, but it also helps us sustain. Because otherwise, in the immature stage of being on a spiritual path, it's quite a common experience that there's unsteadiness in the activities of devotion and unsteadiness in our degrees of worldly detachment. Again, worldly detachment doesn't mean just giving things up. Worldly detachment means the consciousness that we carry while we're engaging in our activities. Whether we become angered, let's say, if someone speaks harshly to us at the workplace or in the temple, whichever it may be, or they're negligent, so I just react and just get angry. Detachment, not that I don't care, not that kind of detachment, but detachment, so that you can speak appropriately for the time, place, circumstance, individual, and take proper action, considering the impact of your speech and conduct on other people, so that the right result will come. The person will be elevated. It's one of the items here. Act in such a way that others are elevated. So detachment in this sense, the sense of becoming a sadhu. So we sadhu association, sadhu sangha, helps us maintain that position and not be, again, pulled down by the modes of nature. So I'll end with that and see if there's some points that you'd like to discuss.
What I was just thinking strongly about, you know, of course, in the scriptures, you know, all your charities mentioned so many things about association with the sadhus. Now, thinking about Brahmacharya, Jagat Guru Haridas Thakur, the difference in our association with the Tarasra type, and the Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was beaten in unlimited amount of marketplaces, but he looked at it as because of his sinful activities, although he was sinless.
Yeah.
And with the Tarasra type, you know, the Swami, he had so much that he could have shared. And you all the characters all belong to him, you know, in his family. So I mean, this are coming, you know, thinking about more of association. You know, who you associate with. And, I mean this is some cruel, but I one of our family member, I mean just about a week ago, he lived in Hawaii. And I have heard I would not say what he does, but I don't want to have any association with him. I don't want to hate him. If I see him, I'll say hello to him, but I just would not go to the way to associate with him. Unless he tries to get off of such a community. I mean, it's in the eyes of mind of some people, they'll say, wow, what is this? You know, but,
I mean, well, so if you can put yourself in the shoes of Vidura, Nirantra / Vidura.
Think.
Not that Vidura was eager for hanging out with Dhritarashtra, and you know, but if you can contemplate as Vidura did, what one can only imagine, even while he was on pilgrimage, thinking, what can be done to help my brother? So not in the mood of condescension, but in the mood of compassion.
Sure.
Let me become sufficiently spiritually qualified that somehow something, Krishna can give me some indication, can give me some empowerment, can give me some capacity to somehow elevate, even not necessarily to the Narottama position, but somehow elevate this individual. It may not even come to pass, but at least that thought, that's a sadhu-like thought that can be enhanced or empowered by sadhu-sangha. So while you're taking sadhu-sangha, say some prayers for your relative.
Of course, he spent some time in our house.
Think of some way to benefit him.
He has filthy words and silly baby. And tried, oh yeah, sure, man. I mean, of course, I'm not hard-hearted.
Yeah.
The question is, Narottama position similar to or equal to pure devotee?
Or well advanced on the path of devotion, at least?
Because the Dhritarashtra, having committed so many grievous offenses to pure devotees, Pandavas, all his life he had. So, is that a factor that he could not go up to the Narottama position?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Part of it was also his age, because we're going to see as we go along. Dhritarashtra is amazing. What he does after hearing from Vidura, we could not accomplish. He's actually a very qualified person. We'll hear. But because of the wickedness of his activities and the age, he was not eligible for the other. That was Vidura's consideration. Conclusion.
Now, follow up, I have another question that in the previous, some years ago, I witnessed one ISKCON guru acting like Vidura to his disciples.
Uh-oh.
And very strongly disciplining them into the things to, right things to do.
Yeah.
And Because of that also, as a result, I have seen that very wonderful devotees were produced. Now, right now we have a situation where we don't have a lot of brahmachari disciples, but we have quite a few householder disciples and followers. So what would be the best way to make this principles of Krishna consciousness and the principles of detachment stick to? Because in the previous time we had our emphasis on disciplining brahmacharis very strictly, so they can become Krishna conscious very fast.
Well, Prabhupada didn't use that system of Prabhupada didn't speak to his disciples like Vidura is speaking to Dhritarashtra. Prabhupada won the hearts of his sannyas and brahmachari disciples by capturing them with his love and care. That was, no one was capable like Prabhupada was capable. There's a very wonderful example of what we can do. Not we can't imitate the spiritual attainment of such an exalted pure devotee, but we can learn from that example. And each individual, whether regardless of brahmachari or whatever their ashram may be, take such good care of each and every individual so that they become a walking testimonial to how beneficial taking part in Krishna consciousness can be. We were the best, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada were the best, the right word would be, advertisement, the best promotion for the product. Even without meeting Srila Prabhupada, just meeting Prabhupada's disciples, people were expressed as what's the professor? In your ever well wisher, there was one professor who was interviewed saying that when he met the members of the Hare Krishna movement, he couldn't figure the devotees out because they had such positivism and enthusiasm. And he spoke of, he didn't mention Sansarup Maharaj's name, but he met the person who was requested to be the editor of Back to Godhead magazine. And he didn't know anything about publishing. He said the closest thing was he had read some magazines.
Yeah.
But he was requested by Prabhupada to start a magazine. And so he was completely empowered and convinced that he could start a magazine without knowing anything. No education in the matter, just go out and start a magazine. So he was, where is this coming from? And then when he came to New York, to visit in New York, and he met Prabhupada, and he said, now I can understand. Prabhupada just instilled such confidence and such dedication and love in the devotees that they were ready to do anything. I heard Prabhupada say it. If I ask my disciples to give their life, without hesitation, they would give their life. We heard that last time when we were in Sridhan's home, Malati told that story, that she came before, in Mayapur, came before a group of sannyasis offering prasadam to them, and as she was paying obeisances, Prabhupada said before all the sannyasis, she will give her life for me if I ask her. Not that Prabhupada would ask her, but that's the surrender. The surrender wasn't by strong chastisement, but by very affectionate dealing. Great in giving the greatest gift so that the devotees understood what the gift was that they were getting. That's our best method. Yes.
Talking about the qualities of sadhu, Now, if a person is practicing Krishna consciousness, does he develop one by one the quality, or some of each point is manifested and then he tries to work out? How does it happen?
Very mystical how it happens. It's an area that's not so much discussed, you know, how it happens, but that it happens. Yasyasti bhakti bhagavati kinchana sarvaya jinastatra samasate sra. So with that verse is quoted and spoken about, it stated that those qualities naturally awaken. Or in some places it says that the Supreme Lord decorates his devotees with those qualities. Just like, you know, we may decorate, say, a parent may dress their little child before they know how to dress themselves. You put the garments on and put a little ribbon in her hair and decorate her with tilak and little bangle. You know, give nice little decorations. As loving parents do that with their children, Krishna does that with his devotees. He decorates them with those qualities. What your Prabhupada does explain is that out of the qualities, there's one that's primary and the others are following behind that primary one. They're marginal. Tatastha lakshana. And one of them is principal. Swarup Lakshana. And that principal one is completely surrendered to Krishna. So following behind that one, so just back to Vishwambar's question, Prabhupada brought us to the position of being attached to him. And through being attached to him, we became attached to Krishna because he was attached to Krishna. And by developing attachment for Krishna, then the other characteristics start to manifest. So, now I've over the past 3 years specifically thought a lot about this, the question you just asked. How does it happen? And again, there's not a lot of explicit information. But there is something in Bhagavad Gita where Prabhupada explains, and I'm paraphrasing, but where when one develops the desire to please Krishna, I want to come before Krishna and in the maximum possible way be pleasing to him. So what can I do to please Krishna the most? So, for example, with deity worship, it means there are three things that Prabhupada gave as important items in deity worship. And those three are cleanliness, punctuality, and sincerity. And Prabhupada, I remember Prabhupada writing a letter to Rukmini, who was the head pujari of Radha Govinda, and at the time, he gave two of them. Cleanliness and punctuality. Of course, one has to be sincere to try to serve the deity nicely. And whatever one does, whatever it is that one offers to Krishna, it should be done with sincerity. But specifically with deity worship, punctuality, particularly for temple worship, home worship may be a little different, but at least it's a principle. Regularity or in temple worship, punctuality. So at 4:15 in the morning, doesn't matter how many assembled devotees are there or not there. You know, it's Mangalarti. And cleanliness. So then knowing that, this will please Krishna very much. Let me try to be very clean, very punctual, and very sincere. Because I want to please Krishna. So then other qualities follow like that. There's other qualities, and one can think, okay, this particular quality is pleasing to Krishna. since I'm attached to the idea of trying to please Krishna, let me cultivate this particular quality, because I realize I need to improve in this particular quality. That follows, it's secondary, following the primary. So then how to cultivate a particular quality? Then there's a whole science to how to cultivate a particular quality. One part of it is to hear about, meditate upon, and glorify persons who exemplify that quality. And if possible, to associate with such persons who exemplify that quality. At least if it's, say if it's a particular acharya that's like a pearl, a jewel of that quality. So we can hear pastimes about that devotee and glorify that devotee and remember that devotee and offer prayers to that devotee and by that process get the mercy of that devotee and gradually by spiritual absorption manifest that quality more so than I'm manifesting it now. Anyway, there's go on for some time on that topic. But it's your specific question was how does it happen? Does one come at a, do they come one at a time or gradually? Practically speaking, this is just an observation. Different persons manifest different qualities, and others manifest other qualities, and others some of those persons are manifest a shortcoming in a particular quality that another person may not have the shortcoming of. And a sincere and conscientious effort in Krishna consciousness will tell us, each one of us, that this is an area I need to work on. So I'll try to engage this particular quality, because it's just like Vishwambar was commenting about Mukunda's Mudanga ability. Just as he's gifted by Krishna. His rhythm is just incredible. So he should be encouraged to use that in Krishna's service. And then there may be for any one of us, so we use the gifts that Krishna has given us, and we should be very attentive to those areas where there's weakness, and especially in the association of a sadhu, or very compassionate and fixed devotees, to take help from them, how we can overcome that particular quality that's weak, and come to a stronger position by that descending mercy process. Maybe, does anybody else like to, that's a nice question, a very important question. Anybody else want to comment on that?
What was the question?
Oh, you were away. Kalki, would you like to comment on that question?
Well, I was just thinking, I heard it stated that a person becomes, person sometimes becomes disturbed when he sees in another person, by another person's some quality, and another person in general, they become, if someone becomes disturbed by that, it's also a quality that they have.
A bad quality.
A bad quality.
So that's an that's a flag.
So you are saying that we see, to cultivate positive qualities, we hear about and glorify someone who has that quality that we want to try to cultivate. This is kind of like the opposite, that a person who has a similar bad quality that we have, we tend to criticize and become agitated by that person. So that's, we could also take that as flag that we should look at ourselves and go, maybe actually I might have that quality also.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of related to glorifying someone or criticizing someone is indicative of how we should look at our own character.
Beware when we become disturbed by something you see in another person. Bhaktisiddhanta taught that exactly, by the way. That one finds fault in others only because one's own heart is honeycombed with the same fault. Now, it doesn't mean that a sadhu, like Vidura, can't see what's going on with Dhritarashtra. He's not faulting Dhritarashtra. He's seeing and he's caring deeply for Dhritarashtra. It's a different position. Yes?
Maharaja, is Narottam beyond the Varnashram system?
Can be, but not necessarily. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, for example, was a grahastha. Within Varnashram. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, sannyas, within Varnashram system. So someone may be functioning within the Varna and Ashram system, but be actually qualified as Narottama. Or, going back to a question that I think Vishnubhav was asking, that one can be well situated in that process and still be, like, in other words, Nishta and beyond, fixed in faith and the execution of that faithful devotional service beyond the stage of anartha, practically gone. One can say that that's in a Narottama position. Emma, you have something, right? Okay. Yes. Again?
What is
speak
I take
it?
A question?
Because there are people way over there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why we feel often that whatever we are doing, we are right? And how to get rid of that?
That's pretty good. Pretty direct question.
What's the question?
The question is for, I'll try to repeat what I'm, he's asking, why is it that we always think that we're right? And how to get beyond that? Well, make a joke and say, well, just ask me and I'll tell you I'm always right. And ask any one of us and, well, of course we're right. It's part of our covered condition. It's part of false ego to think that way. And the position, it's interesting. It's an interesting topic to discuss. Because the position of humility, just like the position of Sanatana Goswami, again, another episode in our Vaishnava history that Prabhupada would like to speak about, although Sanatana Goswami was, in fact, very, 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 very learned. He came before Lord Chaitanya like a blank slate. I don't know who I am. Please instruct me. Who am I? Ground zero. And what are my duties? So, we don't conduct our life that way. We have to have some conception of who we are and what our duties are. Otherwise, we're catatonic. We can't function. So, whatever it is that we accept of who we are and what our duties are, we move forward with that and we're right. But, if we're in an honest assessment, we're not self-realized and there's following that, there's most certainly an unclear understanding of what our duties are. So we're caught in that trap of false ego and pride, moved forward or fueled by our false ego. In a very nice example of humility, Vaishnava humility, Prabhupada expressed once that I may be an imperfect person, I may be a fool, but if I speak the words of a perfect person, then my speaking is perfect. So it is a prideless condition of understanding something is right if we utter that which a perfect person has uttered. And that's the system of disciplic succession. Of course, then it gets a little bit delicate because there's the application of that descending knowledge to a particular time, place, circumstance, where we may not have the Srila Prabhupada standing by our shoulder and say, the application of this principle in this circumstance is this, and in that circumstance is that. So, we have to act, we have to do something in circumstances of life keep presenting themselves to us. So we should have the position of submission. In the language of this chapter, feeling ourselves dependent upon the personality of Godhead and cultivating consistently throughout our life, here's this and here's that, and now I have to make a decision. It's not in the strength of my power that's going to make the right decision. But feeling myself dependent upon the personality of Godhead, pause, giving my dependence to Guru and Krishna, let me move very cautiously, not in a self-righteous way, but in a dependent and cautious way, to carry out Krishna's will. But taking, in other words, Krishna consciousness is a solution to that problem. But we're addicted to that tendency, so we need good association. We need to have some integrity along with good association. That's the problem sometimes. And we can go through the motions and still be carrying very strongly that sense of righteousness. I'm right, here I come. Look out. I heard it from Prabhupada. And then hit somebody with the stick of Prabhupada's instruction. I'm right. That fits nicely with Vishwambar's question. Not doing that, but using the same methodology along with the same instruction the Prabhupada gave. Anyway, so you have to be Krishna conscious. And having examples of Krishna conscious persons to see, I mean, we can read it in the book, and that's very, very helpful, in fact, essential. But seeing and being in the association of living examples of such persons, that's best. And then we should cultivate the mood of those persons. Learn from those persons. Not imitate, but learn from those persons.
One of the purposes of this kind of society, create a society of devotees.
Create the society of exemplary devotees. There's a price tag to exemplary devotees. Many devotees, that's a lot easier. But devotees who are living by standards and examples, they imbibe those same qualities. That's work. That's the price tag. Endless efforts. Sincere devotion. What else are we going to do? Anything else?
I think it's important to have
Yes. Yeah. I'm not sure what your question is. I remember what I said. She wants further clarification on that. Okay. Here it is. Kalki Prabhu has a very strong realization about the importance that Prabhupada places in his teachings again and again and again and again and again and again about simple living and high thinking. And a style of life that's based on that. And in our society today, we don't have so many examples of persons that are able to do that. We have examples of persons, and there's a lot of encouragement for persons who are involving themselves in the mainstream of activities, in jobs that are well-paying jobs, and they have their nicely situated and by worldly standards of everybody that's competing out there in the world of competition. And so they're keeping up with all of that. And they're very Krishna conscious. So the example of rural life, raising your own food, the economic solution of providing that Krishna provides everything from the land, one can live that way and be very happy. We don't have so many examples of that. We find it in our teachings, just like this same thing mentioned to Gyanranjan. We find it in the teachings, plenty. We don't have so many examples. And one of Kalki's points that he's vocalizes and reminds us about is it needs to be spoken about. So I spoke about it. Because it needs to be spoken about it, and we need to have such examples of persons who are very happy. We have rural communities. Visit those rural communities and see how many people are growing their own food and living very contentedly in a very, very simple lifestyle. Prabhupada wanted it, so he created farm communities. And one of the problems with the farm communities is that the people that went to live there wanted to live a middle-class life in a rural setting. And it was really hard to figure out the economics of doing that. You know, it still is. So they become something other than exactly what Prabhupada repeats. So my statement was, examples of such a thing are very important. That's the meaning behind what I said. As well, and I've discussed this with Kalki, it's very important to have not just people who are in the mainstream and kind of getting swept away with the mainstream and chanting Hare Krishna every time they go underwater. Hare Krishna back underwater. But actually exemplary souls. Examples of very strong Krishna conscious models in that setting. Because by and large, that's how people live their life in modern Western society. You have to have examples for such people. If all you had was the other example, a lot of people would say, that's a nice philosophy, but it's not for me. So you have to have examples. But those people also need examples of those that can actually live according to what Prabhupada instructed again and again and again. There's the meaning. You ready for it? You volunteering? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Is it possible to actually do it if you're involved in something which you think has still become so strong in Krishna consciousness?
Both are possible, yes. Well, think of people that that you know that are doing it or have done it. Our classic example is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And think of people that you know that are actually doing that. And it goes on. I gave an earlier discussion, Nitai Gaurasundar. And the fruit, his children, they're ideal. Incredible. Unbelievable. I'm happy to glorify them because they're worthy of that glorification. And it's the fruit of their parents' very sincere effort. Wasn't easy. Anyway, so there are examples. There's some other examples that you also know, so a person's doing that. Okay? Gulshan? You've got a hand up back here. Someone that hasn't spoken yet, so. Go ahead.
I don't know really how to phrase this question, but if by the mercy of a Vaishnava, if a certain quality is uncovered in a person, a nice quality is uncovered.
A nice quality, okay.
Is uncovered in you, and if someone appreciates that quality, and you know that that quality was not present in you, but it got uncovered by the mercy of the Vaishnava. How to Maharaj stop pride coming in?
Easy.
And B, to constantly remember to pass the credit on to the Vaishnava.
Okay, well, you answered the first part already. The answer to the first part is, it's, one can very honestly make the testimonial. If you see any, this is, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and anyway, if you see, I have no good qualities, but if you see a good quality, it's only there because it was placed there by my merciful association. That's the only thing. If there's anything there, that's where it came from. I take no credit for it. All the credit goes to them. And to stay in that consciousness, it's one of the answers to our discussion questions, but it's one of the functions of a sadhu, or the benefits of sadhu associations, it helps sustain. So being in the mood of serving such persons. Because you can be in the mood of serving such persons all the time. Wherever you are. When you're out shopping, when you're at work, when you're at home with the kids, when you're cooking, when you're driving in your car, you can be in the mood of I want to be in Krishna consciousness. I want to do this activity so that it's pleasing to Guru and Krishna and to all the sadhus who have been very kind and merciful upon me. I'd like to be exemplary for their glory, for their pleasure, for their happiness. Being in a service mood sustains.
If I compliment some Vaishnava, they shy away from it and they don't want to hear about it.
Yes.
It's like.
Well, part of that is, here's my little, I find that all the time, and it's a very difficult thing. Because by nature a Vaishnava is humble, but it's part of the art of becoming a Vaishnava is to not to be impersonal, not to, disappear into nothingness when some compliment comes. Or to say no, or, the word that comes to mind is grace. To have that rare quality of being graceful. And not accepting that praise, but not vaporizing it either into nothingness, but in your heart reposing it where it belongs. Here's one for you. Just like Kalki pointed out, a fault-finding tendency. Now, fault-finding means one is determined that I'm going to find some fault in this other person. So I know that they're there, so it's my project. I find fault with others. So, and the reason for that is that very same fault is within one's own heart. So if there's some compliment, you can think or you can say, Prabhu, the only reason you see that quality in me is because you have that quality in you. Checkmate, right? Oh, no, I don't have that quality. And it's true. Person sees that the opposite of what Kalki identified is true. Person sees, can see that good quality because they have that good quality. Or the other way around, a person who doesn't have that good quality can't see it. Or another one is, it's only by your mercy, Prabhu, that if there's any, you and all the Vaishnavas who have gotten a good fortune to associate with, there's any quality like this one, it's your mercy. Actually, there isn't such a thing, only because you have such an abundance of that quality. It's part of the gracefulness of, you know, it's delicate.
Do we have time?
Yes.
Thank you. Part is regarding this simple living, high thinking.
I think we should give the microphone to Kalki. Okay. Yeah, we do that. Go ahead, ask the question.
Question is, of course, no offense for any devotees who own computers, but where is the line? Because a lot of us use this tendency by calling Yukta Vairagya in. I just want to share genuine experiences. It's not a criticism, it's just trying to understand the phrase simple living, high thinking.
You got the microphone.
Simple living means to be engaged in service to Krishna. And if whatever we're doing is related to serving Krishna and Guru, then we're living simple. So depending on the service that we're engaged in, it will require different types of facilities, different types of activities. And it should facilitate high thinking. We generally think of the term simple living and high thinking in relationship to low-tech rural life. The Prabhupada used that terminology to help in that regard, that we live simply and it enables us to have a lot of time for thinking about Krishna. And if our lives become complicated with sense gratification, then we spend our time thinking of how to maintain everything that is required to engage in sense gratification, or how to acquire those items that we need for sense gratification. So we can utilize, Yukta Vairagya means to utilize something in Krishna service. And that we have to understand how to, what is devotional service, what is pleasing to Krishna, and we understand that from Guru. And when Prabhupada describes in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita that to control the senses means to make a plan for serving Krishna, or to control the mind, and then to execute that plan for serving Krishna. So we have some idea of how we serve. Prabhupada could think of it as making an offering to Prabhupada and to Krishna. And then we can utilize anything that's available to
experience there often. Does that answer your question?
Partly, but my main question is like, where do you draw the line? Sometimes the thing Maya is Maya makes you think, oh, I'm using it in Krishna's service. But like Krishna may ask for a glass of water, but I'm giving milk. Prabhupada has given us instructions like Parisha 16 rounds, attend Mangalarti, etc., etc. I'm not criticizing anybody. But there's, you know, some of us get caught up in this, when we sit on the computer, including myself. I include myself first. And, you know, by the time I see the clock, I've spent so many hours on it. This is not regarding business. This is regarding some Krishna's, again, so-called Krishna conscious-related work, if I may frame it, until I hear from an authority. That, yes, it is real devotional service. Because Maya means what is not. I may be thinking, oh yeah, it's devotional service. But it may so turn out that it may not be very much devotional. So maybe if you can instruct me on that, please.
Well, devotional service comes under our guiding principles, and devotional service comes from association with devotees. And it becomes very difficult to remain engaged in devotional service outside the association of devotees. Association with devotees is, in one sense, is the goal of our life. We usually think of the goal of Krishna consciousness is to go back home, back to Godhead. But what will you do when you go back home, back to Godhead? You'll go and associate with devotees, serving and glorifying Krishna. So even here we can come to that platform of associating with devotees and serving Krishna. And what that does is it enables us we again begin to experience loving exchanges. And that gives us a higher taste that we're looking for. And that comes in the association of devotees serving Krishna. Then, when we have that higher taste, we can begin to find that engaging in sense gratification is not actually giving us pleasure, but is distracting us from the pleasure that we're experiencing in our association with devotees in the execution of devotional service of Krishna. So association of devotees who are enthusiastic for serving Krishna is really the principle, or the, not exactly the principle, but who's our goal in life? It's really the source of everything for us.
Three things.
Yes,
sir. Simple. The little bullet points. One is a measure, something very close to what Kalki was saying, that I was thinking. The measure of you're asking for the dividing line. Where's the...
Right.
On this side it's okay, and that's marginal. On the other side it's not okay. So where our attraction for Krishna Katha, that's directly from the Bhagavatam. The purpose of all of our duties is to enhance our attraction for Krishna Katha, which comes through the association of devotees. So where I'm being inhibited by that, it's on the other side. Where, then another point was that Gosham remembered from our class, Bhakti Viksha class on Thursday, if I'm too busy with my techno activities to apply myself to the rules and regulations of devotional service, I become too busy to attend Mangalarti or Guru Puja or Srimad Bhagavatam class or my devotional practices because I got techno absorbed. That's on the other side. If it interferes with the regulations, if it decreases my attraction for relishing devotee association or hearing Krishna Katha. And then the third is, I guess it's kind of like an overriding thing, but the principle of yukta vairagya is working in reverse when I become used by that thing rather than using that thing. I become sucked into material energy. Just like you described, hours passed, I didn't even know the time passed. I looked at my watch and I'm like, look at this, how much time. Then I'm getting used by that energy. It means that my Krishna consciousness is not awake and alert and, you know, wide awake. But can you, Trivikram, tilt that way so I can, okay, there we go. So, then I'm being used by the material energy rather than engaging. My Krishna consciousness is engaging this particular thing to facilitate service to Krishna. Got lost. Or as Sunila Madhava said, I just got swept away by the motive passion. So, those are three considerations, dividing lines, and that's on the other side.
But on the other hand, say Maya can lead me or any other person into thinking, oh, you're so absorbed. The project that you're working is...
If you're in Krishna, being absorbed in passion and being absorbed in Krishna consciousness are different. Being absorbed in Krishna consciousness is Krishna is right at the front. Prabhupada commented that to not know what day it is or what time it is ignorance. I'm so absorbed I don't know who I am, where I am, what's what, and it's for Krishna. But that's Prabhupada knew exactly what's what. So tell a little story to end this afternoon. One devotee told me that, two stories. One devotee told me that Prabhupada wanted to train him, the householder, who was the treasurer, so Prabhupada wanted to train him how to do the banking. What he wanted him to do was that you could then train others at other centers how to do this. So he showed him how to do the accounts, and then how to deal with the bank tellers. He went with him in the car to the bank. And it was a regular time, it was a certain number of hours after Prabhupada had his morning meal, and they went to the bank. And every time Prabhupada sat in the back seat, and he tilted his head back, he didn't, you know, nod out, he was resting, and just as they drove into the driveway of the bank, he sat up. So Prabhupada rested, but even when he rested, he wasn't, you know, in the ozone, like, wasn't covered. He was Krishna conscious. So, even in another situation, one devotee, deleting these devotees' names deliberately, he was service and massage Prabhupada. He was very good at it. He was strong, but he knew not to be too strong. He was very expert. So it was not uncommon. Hari Swami also explained this, but when massaging, Prabhupada would doze. So one time Prabhupada was on his chest and he was massaging on his back and he pressed harder than he normally would. And from out of Prabhupada's mouth came Rama Raghava. So even in that situation, Prabhupada was fully Krishna conscious. So absorbed with Krishna is the front of that absorption. That's Krishna consciousness. And the other is absorbed, is getting absorbed by the mode of passion. Where the fruit is right in front, not Krishna. Achieving a result. Absorbed and achieving a result. Passion. Different. You starts, I'm doing this for Krishna, and it ends up, after some time, Krishna's gone and I'm just absorbed by the material energy. Shri Prabhupada, Shri Krishna, 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 Krishna,